Hello, friends. The live stream of our worship service failed yesterday. What follows is a brief recorded devotional on the scripture we read in worship, John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. In my office is a painting from the German painter Grunewald. In the painting, in the very center of it, is Jesus hanging on the cross, and off to the side is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is holding, presumably, Isaiah, the scripture, and he is pointing an impossibly elongated finger in the direction of Jesus hanging on the cross. It's a wonderful painting. John the Baptist understands his purpose is to point toward Jesus. And so in that scripture, and in the scripture right before it, John the Baptist points toward Jesus by saying things like, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." He understands himself as a fulfillment of the prophecy from Isaiah. John the Baptist says things like, "Another one is coming, and I am unworthy to untie his sandals." John the Baptist says things like, "One who is coming ranks higher than me, because he was before me." John the Baptist says, "I saw the Holy Spirit rest on him like a dove." John the Baptist says, "I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And finally, John the Baptist says, "He is the Son of God." Everything that he does points toward Jesus as the Messiah. And it's important for the people who are listening because they had been waiting on a Messiah. They experienced what it was like to be under oppressive Roman rule. The taxation they experienced was difficult. The oppression they experienced was at times unbearable. If you wonder what it was like, just remember that these people lived in a time of Herod, and living under Herod as your king was never any fun. And so when John the Baptist shows up on the scene and says, "The Christ is coming, get ready," what he's doing is pointing toward and testifying about the one who is coming after him. John the Baptist has a good way of introducing Jesus to them. When Jesus walks by, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He calls him the Lamb of God two times. He didn't make it up. He could mean at least three different things, and maybe all three at the same time. He's talking about the Passover lamb. The people listening to John would have remembered the Passover lamb that was sacrificed back in the time of their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. The Passover lamb is sacrificed, and the blood of the lamb covers the door frames of their houses so that during the 10th plague, the angel who passes through the land to strike down the firstborn would pass over any home that was covered by the blood of the lamb. The people understood that a lamb was sacrificed so that they could be delivered. They also knew that very regularly lambs were sacrificed at the temple as part of an atonement ritual for their sin. Families would bring a lamb to the temple, and the lamb would be offered as a substitute sacrifice. The sin that they confessed would be transferred symbolically to the lamb who bore the penalty for their sin. The lamb is sacrificed for their sin, and they returned home forgiven and free. They also would have understood the Lamb of God as being connected to another prophecy in Isaiah. In Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquity, and like a lamb led to slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent." They would have understood the Lamb of God could be the Passover lamb, the one that gave them deliverance from slavery. They would have understood the Lamb of God could be like one of the lambs sacrificed in the present day for their sin. They would have understood that the Lamb of God could be this one who was prophesied to come and be their deliverance. John is pointing right to Jesus. Here is the Lamb of God. And he's telling people not just that Jesus has come and that he is the Messiah. He's telling people what kind of Messiah he is. Think for a minute. Why a lamb? Why wouldn't John say, "Behold, the mighty general of the armies of God come to set us free"? Why wouldn't John say something like, "Behold, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords bow before him in submission"? Instead, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It's because he's not just saying that Jesus is the Christ. He's saying what kind of Christ he will be. The way of the Messiah is sacrifice. The lambs of Passover were sacrificed. The lambs for the atonement of sin were sacrificed. The lamb of Isaiah 53 was sacrificed. And so the way of this Lamb of God will be the way of sacrifice. And the ones who follow after him, and make no mistake, in this scripture, Jesus is starting to call disciples, followers, to himself. The way of a follower will be the way of sacrifice. It means the kingdom that this Messiah brings will not come by force or coercion. It will not come by fight and by might. It comes through sacrifice. Back in 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. was in jail in Birmingham, and he wrote a letter to the leaders of many white churches who identified themselves as sympathetic and yet still moderate. Martin Luther King Jr. said this about sacrifice: "If today's church does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, three things will happen. It will lose its authenticity, it will forfeit the loyalty of millions, and it will be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning in the 20th century." Martin Luther King Jr. knew that the way of Jesus is the way of sacrifice. The way of the followers of Jesus is the way of sacrifice. That's what so many are finding objectionable these days about Christian nationalists, the ones who are fighting to make America a Christian nation. What they're finding most objectionable is that the methods that are being employed are force and coercion, fight and might. But those are not the way of the Lamb. The kingdom of the Lamb of God advances by sacrifice. The sacrifice of giving of the self in love for others, even and especially when it cost you something. All of this may help you understand the dissonance or repulsion that you feel when you see people in the name of Jesus chase after power, use force, or hurt our neighbors to advance their own cause. The dissonance you feel is because the way of the kingdom of the Lamb of God does not come through force. It comes through sacrifice. Now, all of that is out there in the world right now, but more personally, if Jesus is the Lamb of God, who calls you to follow him in the way of sacrifice. What does that mean for you? These disciples that he's choosing, they are getting ready to find out about the way of sacrifice. And if you say yes to his invitation, if you stay close, then you will find out about the way of the Lamb as well. To God alone be glory, now and forever. Amen.